Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert sex advice so you can have an amazing sex life. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com and hit the Ask Us Anything button at the top of the page. While you're there, you can check out our complete archive of this podcast. We are approaching 100 episodes, so there is lots to explore. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills and unleash more pleasure in your life, enroll in one of our erotic mastery courses. Our online multimedia courses cover everything from couples massage to foreplay mastery to erotic spanking, and you'll find them all over at pleasuremechanics.com. As a listener of this podcast, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about long-distance sex. But the advice we give is actually relevant for everyone because with our busy lives, most of us live in some version of a long-distance relationship. We'll explain more about that after Charlotte gets us started by reading a question submitted by a listener.
Hi guys, I just started listening to your podcast and I've been devouring it voraciously. Oh, we love that. Thank you. I love your approach and the topics you cover. I have two questions that I would love some help with, so here goes. My partner and I live thousands of miles apart, and while we do get to see each other on occasion, and hopefully will soon live in the same country, it presents two problems. First, when we do see each other, we are so hyped up about it that the sex is usually amazing initially, but then can be so intense that I sometimes get too stimulated and just can't come. Which I know is not the whole point, but it is something I would like to achieve now and again in the brief time we have together. Second, Skype sex. The times we're not together, we spend lots of time on Skype and have pretty fun and adventurous Skype sex. But it has been 2 years now and it feels like it is getting a little old. I don't want to be bored. Do you have any tips on how we can stay interested in each other and each other's bodies when we're far apart? Thanks, Pleasure Mechanics. Alex.
So long-distance relationships are often thought about as when a couple lives a few hours apart or on different continents and they are maintaining a relationship across space. But when you think about it, the biggest issue with long-distance relationships, especially in today's world of technology, is the amount of time you spend in person together. So with today's technology, you can talk every day, you can video chat and see one another's beautiful faces, but what's lacking is in-person time. And when we started thinking about this, we realized that so many couples we talk to, even if they live under the same roof, are in a version of a long-distance relationship because they only really get to spend quality time together once a month or every other month. Or once a season. We live such busy lives that for a lot of people, their long-term relationships become long-distance relationships. Ooh. So whether or not you live in different countries or you share a bed every night, the question to start asking yourself at the beginning of this podcast is how much time do you actually get to spend together? How many hours a week, a month, are you spending in quality time with no other agenda but connecting, being intimate, being erotic together, and being together as lovers?
Right, because so many people don't get to spend that kind of time together. And so the advice we're going to be offering for long-distance relationships can really be useful for those of us who spend not that much time with our lovers in person, whatever your circumstance.
Yeah, we recently talked to a doctor who was kind of in her early 30s, married, and her partner was also a doctor, but they worked different shifts, and she described it as living in a house with a ghost, because they so rarely saw one another.
They would see the condensation on the mirror before, like when she got up, knowing that he had just been there and showered, but she wasn't actually spending time with him. And I think that speaks to a lot of people's experience of not getting to really spend quality time with their lover.
Yeah, and we're really talking about quality time, because you can pass one another and make kids breakfast and run off to work and come home and collapse in front of the TV, but that doesn't really count as quality time as a couple connecting and working on your intimacy and building up towards a sex life. And so if you're in a long distance relationship, it's kind of a interesting thing, because a lot of long distance relationships stay hot and passionate for way longer, because that early time of lust and longing is spread out over more months and more years than if you were going on a date every other day or spending 5 days a week in the same bed at the early stages of your relationship. And so some long distance relationships are really fiery and passionate and delicious. And like Alex said, when they get to see each other, there's so much intensity that sometimes that causes too much pressure and it fizzles out. On the other hand, being in a long distance relationship can create emotional distance and a sense of coldness within the physical relationship. And so when you get together, some people need time to reacquaint themselves and sit and have conversation before they're ready to have sex. And then their special weekend is over before they've really gotten it on. And again, as I was thinking about this, it reminded me of scheduled date nights. And so in a long distance relationship, you're buying plane tickets and scheduling your visits together. But in a relationship, most people schedule date nights or try to get together once a week or a couple times a month as lovers, and you arrange the babysitter and you make a dinner reservation. Maybe you get a hotel room or you get the kids out of the house for the weekend. But that creates the same scenario where there's so much pressure on that specific time to create an erotic experience together that it can either be so much excitement that it feels like a lot of pressure, or you arrive at that time and you're not quite in the mood and you feel distant from your lover and you don't really have the sex that you want and you feel disappointed. So long distance relationships, regular relationships, both have this issue of the pressure of putting all of your erotic eggs in one basket, so to speak. It's not a very sexy metaphor, is it?
That's okay.
All right.
They'll forgive us.
Moving on. And so this is what we want to explore. How do you be in a relationship and not put so much pressure on these date nights, these scheduled visits? How do you maintain good connection when you're busy or when you're far away? How do you have a great sex life with someone you don't see very often? So our first piece of advice here is to recognize that relationships serve many needs. Most of us put way too much pressure and emphasis on our primary romantic relationship. And when you break it down of all of the things you're expecting out of your partner, so it's not only just sex, but it's going out to dinner, it's sharing conversation, it's emotional support, it's a shared life together. There's so much pressure for all of these things that we all really need in our life to come from one person. And so I think all of us can benefit from diversifying our source of these kinds of pleasures. And especially if you're in a long-distance relationship, start thinking about cultivating friendships that can serve some of the needs that you're not getting from your romantic partner. So friends that you can have dinner dates with, friends that you can cuddle up on the couch and watch your favorite TV program while giving each other nice little massages. Friends that you can walk around on a Sunday morning and go to brunch and sit over the New York Times and have great intellectual conversations if that's something you crave. We all need to find sources of love from more than one person so it doesn't put so much pressure on one relationship.
Yeah, that is such an important part of living a full and rich life, to have a range of community friendships that are serving all of your needs.
I was thinking the other day that isolation, social isolation, is a form of torture. And a lot of us self-impose it. And especially if you're in a long-distance relationship and you're coming home to an empty apartment and eating alone every day, and you're longing for that social connection that we all need, I think it's kind of this self-imposed form of torture. And that it sounds kind of intense, but I was really thinking about this, that if our prison system uses isolation as one of the worst forms of punishment, we need an antidote to that in our everyday life. And you can be surrounded by people all day without intimate connection. And I think what we all need more of is real intimate connection, where you're connecting with other human beings over sensual pleasures, over meaningful conversations, over shared experiences of joy and wonder and grief and all of these real deep human experiences. And I was just thinking about that as we were preparing for this podcast, that especially if you're in a long distance relationship or don't see your partner very often, we need to all make more of an effort to surround ourselves with a social network of loving, present human beings.
Amen.
So, moving on.
Along with building rich social connections in your life and getting your social needs met by a variety of people that you love and care about, the next piece we want to encourage you to focus on is this idea that you as an individual are an independent sexual being. We've talked about this idea in various different podcasts because we feel very committed to this idea that each of us are independent sexual beings, and then we share our bodies, our erotic life, our imagination with our lover. So when you're in a long distance relationship or you're not seeing your partner that much, taking time and energy to prioritize connecting with yourself is really essential. So what can that look like? It looks like taking time to enjoy and indulge in the pleasures that you particularly enjoy. Perhaps that's a glass of wine, listening to fabulous music, bubble baths, you know, everyone has a different, reading poetry, reading the paper, any sensual and pleasurable experiences that elevate your experience of life are important and valuable because they help you relax, enjoy life, and feel good. And when you feel good, you bring more of yourself to life. So identifying what are important pleasures to you and intentionally putting them into your lifestyle is an important first step. And then in your sexual life alone, in your solo sexual life, exploring fantasy is a really great opportunity that you get when a partner is not right there. So really mining your erotic imagination for what turns you on, and give yourself permission to explore and to not know what you're really turned on by yet, and that it's an exploration. So go into your imagination and you can fantasize about anything and get really outlandish, alien sex in space or whatever floats your boat, or fantasize about your partner and really explore what it is you'd like to do next with them, what you want to experience with them, and touch yourself. Really allow yourself to enjoy this experience. That masturbation is not a thing that you do because the other person isn't around, but is an event and an experience in and of itself that you gift yourself.
And one of the interesting things here is that when you fantasize, your body responds. It becomes real in your body. And so when you fantasize about your partner specifically, you may end up feeling closer to them and as if you had an erotic experience with them, even if it was just you alone in your bedroom. And a lot of people use this to stay emotionally connected and to remember what they love about their partner as the days and weeks and months go by without being able to physically connect. And you can get really specific and remember the way they smell and they taste and the way their fingertips look as they brush against you. If you can get really detailed, your brain will trick your body into actually thinking that this happened and having an experience of connection and arousal and intimacy over time and space. And that's kind of an amazing trick that the human body can do. And you can base these fantasies on your memories of some of the best sex you've had with your partner, or think about what you want to do next, as Charlotte said. And then you can choose to share these fantasies with your partner or not. You can tell them over the phone, and we'll get into some of this communication stuff a little later. But you can keep these fantasies to yourself and have them as a private experience, or choose to share them as a way of building more sizzle.
Just makes me think of steak.
I like steak. I know.
And the benefit of making sure that you are having great orgasms solo is that you are taking care of yourself. You're taking care of your needs. So you are not as needy and as desperate as you might otherwise be when you see your partner.
Yeah.
We all know that feeling, or I know that feeling, when you're feeling really pent up and you need release.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the sexual experience is more focused on that than on paying attention to your partner and being really present. There's more of an urgency to it, which can also, can be fun. But if you're doing this in a long distance, long-term kind of way, you've got to take care of yourself, take care of business.
Yes.
Before you see your lover.
Beautifully said.
Taking care of business every day. That's probably not the tune. I'm so bad with songs, but thanks. Yes.
So once you are filled up and feeling great as an independent sexual being, and you have a great social network that's taking care of your emotional needs and your social needs, then you get to turn towards your partner and learn how to cultivate interest over distance and time. And this is all about maintaining interest, maintaining connection, making sure that you are at the top of one another's minds when you're not seeing each other as often as you'd like. Because let's be clear, in the beginning of a relationship, if you're dating, you're scheduling dates, you're anticipating dates, you're thinking about one another, you're kind of obsessed with one another. It's one of the hallmarks of an early relationship, is that kind of all-encompassing obsession with one another and feeling so excited to see each other. And that changes over time, right? But how do we actively and intentionally cultivate interest in one another? Here are some strategies. When you're in person, we really encourage you to focus on daily affection and daily reminders of why and how you love each other. And so we encourage you to take time to have a hello kiss in the morning. Even if you're rushing off to work, if you can spare 2 minutes to look into each other's eyes, touch one another, kiss one another, that over time will do wonders for your relationship.
2 minutes, it's more like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 minutes is like tantric luxury experience for a lot of people. I mean, with, yeah.
2 minute tantra. That's probably out there, sadly enough. But moving on. A lot of the other strategies can take place whether or not you're in the same house or in different countries. So this is all about communication. And communication nowadays is really enhanced by technology. If you think about 100 years ago, you'd have to write out a letter longhand, give it to a messenger, wait for that message to get there. Maybe it gets there, maybe it gets hijacked by cowboys or something, and then the message gets returned, and it's this long, slow romance, which could be really titillating, actually. And now we have all this amazing technology where you can communicate in an instant, and it's delivered immediately, and it's amazing.
So you know that Romeo and Juliet wish they had video chat. I mean, it would have been a totally different story.
We should rewrite that. That could be a good movie. And so how do we use technology? How do we use all the communication devices we have to create daily reminders that we love each other, we desire one another, we're thinking about one another?
This is where using intentionality to really create these moments of connection and appreciation, even if you're long distance, can be really valuable and really bring a lot to the relationship. That it's something that a lot of people who are in the same place don't bother doing. So you can actually create even more emotional connection no matter your distance if you pay attention to these sorts of moments.
So this is more than just saying, hey, thinking about you, love you, kiss, kiss, insert emoji here, right? Like, that is well and good. You can do that all day long. You can share what just happened in your business meeting, but we want you to take it to the next level and start seducing one another and using the tool of seduction through technology and communication to build up anticipation and keep that interest stoked and alive in the times between seeing one another and having date nights or visits.
Some of the ways you can use the elements of seduction are to share your fantasies that you're having about one another. Really share in as much detail as you feel comfortable what it is you'd love to do with them, to them, have them do to you. Kind of going into those details can really spark one another and be lovely to hear about. You can choose to say out loud or in writing what it is that you find really hot about the person. It's basically taking time and energy to draw out this part of the sexual cycle, the seduction, the creating of desire, the longing, the building of the lust. These are parts of the sexual cycle that often are forgotten about when you're living next to each other, because sometimes you skip over this and just want to get straight to the sex part. But in long distance relationships, you can really like play with this part and have it be a really beautiful and delicious part of seduction.
Right, it's all about reminding your lover about your sexual connection and building anticipation for what's to come. And you can use a lot of different forms of technology to do this, and I'll run through them in order of chronological appearance on Earth. So there's old-fashioned letters. I mean, I'm going to skip over cave drawings and stuff like that because I don't think we'll use them anymore, or you're not going to carve a tablet with your ode to your partner.
Share your fancies in pictograms. That could be cool.
So you can write old-fashioned letters and put them in the mail. And there's something especially amazing about this nowadays when people hardly get mail and everything is expected to be digital. Sitting down with a beautiful piece of paper and a nice pen may be a beautiful way to express yourself. You can talk on the phone and have phone sex. And this is an art that can be learned over time. You might be shy at first, but over time you might get really prolific about talking one another through your fantasies and what you want to do to each other. And you may or may not masturbate with each other on the phone, but hearing one another's voice and their breath can be really sexy. And this is a really fun thing you can do, even if you're not in a long-distance relationship. This makes a lot more sense for a long-distance relationship, but if your partner's away for the weekend on a business trip or is even just, you know, in the next room, you could potentially call their cell phone, have them pick up, and start breathing deeply and telling them how much you want them and challenging them to come find you in the house. Like, that might be really hot for a lot of people. So think about phone sex as a tool of expressing your desire.
And know that a lot of the charge is around the breathiness and the tone of voice as opposed to what you say. That's a lot of what people report being most important. So if you feel nervous about what you're saying, don't worry about it. Just breathe deep and get a little breathless.
Moan and gasp and you're golden.
You'll be fine.
And again, that's a learned skill. Don't discount it if you're shy at first, because we're all shy at first when we're trying something new.
Well, and that's the beauty of these sorts of things. It's like you can expand your sexual repertoire by practicing them. And when you're in something that feels vulnerable and feels a little bit scary, that's when things get interesting. That's when sexuality gets interesting. So it's a way of actually being vulnerable and intimate with distance, without your bodies, and you're still learning new skills, which is sexually expansive and wonderful.
And you can use email, and some people get special email accounts that are just for their erotic exchanges with their lover, so it doesn't pop up in their business account or on their cell phone. And that anticipation of logging in to your special email account and seeing if there's a new message might be really thrilling. You can also use text, and again, there's apps for couples to have a more private experience in texting, and they're always changing. So we've recommended apps on past episodes, but apps go in and out of popularity and get pulled off the store. So just search couples texting app and see what comes up that is relevant now.
And the episode we did a whole episode on texting, so it was called Texting for Grown-Ups. Sexting for Grown-Ups, so check that out. We talk about this subject in depth.
And to find any episode in our archive, by the way, if you go up to the index, which is, there's a link to it at the top of every page on pleasuremechanics.com, we have an A to Z index of topics. And so if you go there and look under S for sexting, you'll find that episode in a jiffy. And going from Jiffy. Skype, as our audience letter mentioned, is an amazing tool. It's free video chat from any two people in the world. Like, what a blessing that is. Let's just be clear. Okay, so Skype sex can be incredibly hot. You have a video camera, you can see one another, but you can't touch, which kind of, if you think about it, plays on that lap dance mentality of seduction where you can see one another, but ooh, don't touch. And a lot of couples use Skype sex to stay connected over distances. And people take to this in different ways, right? Like, you may not want to strip in front of your Skype video camera, but maybe you're comfortable telling your partner what to do or watching them do a little striptease and then watching them touch themselves. So you need to find your own comfort level with this. And again, it might feel awkward at first and then you warm up. But Skype sex is basically visual phone sex. Right? So if you take that hearing one another's voices and tell me what you do to me now, baby, but then you add a video camera to it, and maybe you'll like phone sex better and you feel more uninhibited over the phone or just doing audio only Skype versus video. For a lot of people, as soon as there's a camera on them, inhibitions fly up and they get a lot more shy. But there are baby steps you can take. You don't have to get naked to have Skype sex. You can show a little bit of boob and titillate your partner that way, or just use the camera to look at one another's faces and look each other in the eye and then have dirty talk, right? So it doesn't have to be full-on naked masturbation. Keep that in mind.
Though it can be.
Though it totally can be. And it sounds like some people, and we've actually gotten a few letters from this, that I'm getting bored with how I'm doing Skype sex. What can I do more of? And this is where we encourage you to put all of the strategies we offer about your in-person sex life into play over Skype sex. So things like incorporating a little bit of power play, where one of you is more dominant and is bossing the other around and telling them what to do and being firm, and the other one is being kind of vulnerable and submissive. You could try that over Skype sex. You could bring in toys and watch each other use toys in new ways. You can use tease and denial, where you get one another really, really hot and charged up and then click the little red button, end the call, and leave one another breathless. You can play games over Skype, and this is just about bringing your creativity. And again, once you're sharing your fantasies and you know what turns one another on, use those elements to tease and titillate one another. And whether, again, it's in a long distance relationship or you're at home together, use these kinds of teases to hint at what you might want to happen the next time you have the opportunity to have sex. And what all of these strategies are doing is it's creating the conditions that make it more likely when you do have time in person that you'll have the kind of sex you want to be having, you'll have kind of a foundation to build on, and you won't be total erotic strangers when you get to be together, which is what happens when we don't take time to seduce and kindle one another's arousal. So after all of this seduction and using technology to communicate, you finally get time together. You've bought your plane ticket, you've scheduled a date night, you've gotten the kids away, you're finally in person together. Here are a few strategies that will help you make the best of that time.
So there is the difference between expectations and reality. So you've been building this seduction, you've been telling them what you wanted to do to them, and then you get in person, and it is really important then to drop all of those hopes and expectations and put them in the realm of fantasy and be with the person in front of you with no expectations, ironically, and just see what happens. Because if you bring all of those fantasies into the time as an expectation, there is going to be inevitable disappointment in some manner. So
a tremendous amount of pressure on your time together.
Right. So you have to...
It's like, hey, baby, I'm ready to tie you up and spank you. And it's like, I just got off the plane. I need a bottle of water first.
Right. I want a bath. So it's kind of a funny... Yeah, you just have to make that transition to being present to who you're with and having no expectations beginning again.
Yeah, and remembering that your time together, the best use of it is to be together as you are now, present to one another's realities, and sharing the love between you. And that really means checking in about what you both need and want out of that time. And that may or may not include sex, right? Like, even if you're in a long-distance relationship, this is your 1 week in a month together. If you have sex just once over that weekend, or maybe don't even have sex at all, it can still be a really loving, successful weekend that builds your relationship. And that's really about what you both need. And on the other hand, if you're both bringing a tremendous amount of erotic energy to it, and there's tons of intensity, you might fizzle out and then have a lot of kind of disappointment around that. And so in either situation, whether or not you need time to reconnect and go get warm together and slowly build up to making love, or you come off the plane like fully fueled up and ready to ravish one another, in either situation, we encourage you to slow down, spend some time together, have some conversation, and be present with one another so you're sure that you're in the weekend or the visit with the person you love and not a projected fantasy of who you think you're with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So slowing down, looking at the person, being like, this is you. I flew across the country to see you specifically. Tell me how you are. And I think that's what leads to the depth of connection and intimacy that can keep a relationship going over time, over distance.
One of the benefits of the long-distance relationship is that there can be this excitement and anticipation that then you really get to release. And so I feel like it's a hard balance, and every couple has to find their own way to play with it every time. Because you might actually, both of you, want to have that initial ravishment straight off the plane. But I guess it's really, it's communicating well together if that's actually what you want to do when you see each other, or if that's fantasy. Or right. Like, this time, are you up for that? Shall we go for that?
But you never know until you're in the moment. Like, you know how plane rides are, long road trips. You can come off of that ready to release a lot of steam and fly right into the shower together and be naked. And you can come off of that being like, I need some time to land and adjust. And that has to be okay. And I think that's the point, is being present with both of your needs, right? Or you could have scheduled this weekend, but you just had a hellish week at work. And it's Friday night and you're picking your lover up and you're supposed to be like Casanova and feeling super sexy and you feel like poop and all you want to do is go, should I not say poop? She just gave me a look. And you just need to go out for a meal and talk and decompress. And so it's really, the essence here is not putting pressure on it. And again, this makes perfect sense for date nights, for couples who live in the same house as well. We encourage you to schedule date nights, but you can't go into that date night with an agenda of, all right, at 8 p.m. Friday night, it's on, I'm ready to fuck. You have to be present for what both of you need and want. And that is the key to having a good erotic connection, whatever that looks like. That might be a weekend of nonstop sex where you barely come up for air. That might be a long weekend of taking long walks and slow kisses and soothing touch and caring for one another. We all have different needs at different moments in our life, and an erotic connection is not just about frenzied, passionate sex. That is one element of it. But if you're in a long-term relationship of any kind, you also have to care for one another on all these other levels and find out what your lover needs in that moment. All right. So as we were preparing for this podcast, we were really reflecting that the core characteristic of a long-distance relationship is the amount of time you get to spend in person together. And of course, that varies. It could be every weekend. It could be 3 times a year you get to see one another. And even if you're living in the same house or the same city, in our busy lives, we don't usually get to spend as much time connecting and being intimate together as we'd like. And so no matter what the distance between you, the core of this is about connecting over time and space. And so cultivating your relationship, cultivating the desire for one another, and taking care of yourself as a sexual being so all of your needs aren't projected onto your partner. And we encourage you to think about all of this as an opportunity for creativity, for playfulness, for vulnerability together, and to build your intimacy, which are all elements of having a great relationship and a great sex life. We hope this has been useful to you. If you have any questions about what we've just talked about or anything you want to hear us discuss on future episodes, come over to pleasuremechanics.com, hit the Ask Us Anything button and be in touch. And when you're ready to master new erotic skills, check out our complete suite of online courses so you can master new erotic skills in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. What could be better than that? Use the code Speaking of Sex for 20% off the online course of your choice. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.